8. Rach looked at Harry Seldon after the two politicians had gone and fingered his mustache. It gave him satisfaction to stroke it. Here in the Streeling sector, some men wore mustaches, but they were usually thin, despicable things of uncertain color. Thin, despicable things, even if dark. Most men did not wear them at all, and suffered with naked upper lips. Seldon didn't, for instance, and that was just as well. With his color of hair, a mustache would have been a travesty. He watched Seldon closely, waiting for him to cease being lost in thought, and then found he could wait no longer. "Dad," he said. Seldon looked up and said, "What?" He sounded a little annoyed at having his thoughts interrupted, Rach decided. Rach said, "I don't think it was right for you to see those two guys."
"Oh, why not?"
"Well, the thin guy, whatever his name is, was the guy you made trouble for at the field. He can't have liked it." "But he apologized."
"He didn't mean it.
But the other guy, Joranum, he can be dangerous. What if they had had weapons?"
"What? Here in the university? In my office? Of course not. This isn't Billy Botten. Besides, if they had tried anything, I could have handled both of them together, easily."
"I don't know, Dad," said Rach dubiously. "You're getting..."
"Don't say it, you ungrateful monster," said Seldon, lifting an admonishing finger. "You'll sound just like your mother, and I have enough of that from her. I am not getting old, or at least not that old. Besides, you were with me, and you're almost as skilled a twister as I am."
Rach's nose wrinkled. "Twisting ain't much good." It was no use. Rach heard himself speak and knew that even 8 years out of the morass of Dahl, he still slipped into using the Dahlite accent that marked him firmly as a member of the lower class. And he was short, too, to the point where he sometimes felt stunted. But he had his mustache, and no one ever patronized him twice. He said, "What are you going to do about Joranum?"
"For now, nothing."
"Well, look, Dad. I saw Joranum on Trantorvision a couple of times. I even made some holotapes of his speeches. Everyone is talking about him, so I thought I would see what he has to say. And, you know, he makes some kind of sense. I don't like him, and I don't trust him, but he does make some kind of sense. He wants all sectors to have equal rights and equal opportunities, and there ain't nothing wrong with that, is there?"
"Certainly not.
All civilized people feel that way."
"So why don't we have that sort of stuff? Does the Emperor feel that way? Does Demerzel?"
"The Emperor and the First Minister have an entire empire to worry about. They can't concentrate all their efforts on Trantor itself. It's easy for Joranum to talk about equality. He has no responsibilities. If he were in the position to rule, he would find that his efforts would be greatly diluted by an empire of 25 million planets. Not only that, but he would find himself stopped at every point by the sectors themselves. Each one wants a great deal of equality for itself, but not much equality for others. Tell me, Rach, are you of the opinion that Joranum ought to have a chance to rule, just to show what he can do?"
Rach shrugged.
"I don't know. I wonder. But if he had tried anything on you, I would have been at his throat before he could move 2 centimeters.
"Your loyalty to me, then, exceeds your concern for the Empire."
"Sure, you're my dad."
Seldon looked at Rach fondly, but behind that look he felt a trace of uncertainty. How far could Joranum's nearly hypnotic influence go?